This conference will
focus on progress, not perfection. And it was an article that Lydia found in the most recent Network Marketing Times, written by Marty McGibbon. And I like the content a lot because I find that people get trapped sometimes in their predisposition about, you know, having to have to be right or having to have to be perfect and the idea. And some of it, a lot of this typically comes out of the analyst quadrant, if you're familiar with the four personality quadrants. I mean, I know they're called many different things, but we have promoters, analysts, supporters, and controllers. I use the Clemmer analysis because that's where I really got fully trained in it. But the analyst quadrant, which is the people that, you know, are always wearing the different colored pens, are always, you know, about they tend to be the ones that are the most highly perfectionist, because they what runs their life is a concept of not being wrong. And one of the problems, just as an introduction to it, when you're looking at that way as a perfectionist, people who are perfectionists tend to dread even making the smallest of mistakes. They don't want to make one misstatement or one misstep or one miss. So they are so cautious that what happens is it totally like isolates you in terms of ability to expand and grow, because you're so fearful of, you know, growth. Because anytime you grow and you take a step out in a new direction, what's your probability of making a mistake? It increases in a huge way because you've never done it before. Anytime you do something new and different, you increase the probability of making a mistake at it, right? Everybody agree with that? Because there's no historical basis for you, for your knowledge, for your ability, for you to accomplish what you set out to do. And if some of you are like me, that was 100% true about stepping into network marketing. I'd never done it before. I'd never been exposed to it before. So was I going to make some mistakes? Well, yeah, I was going to make some mistakes. But if you're such a perfectionist, that what happens is you look at an opportunity like that, you get involved in Manatech, and you don't share with anyone for the first 6 months because you want to make sure that everything you tell them is perfect. Well, I didn't have to worry about that because I'm not a perfectionist. But a lot of us feel like, oh, well, I don't want to make a misstatement. Well, you know, once in a while, misstatements in your life are going to happen. Even after you do all the research in the world, you still could potentially make a misstatement, right? Because maybe some of the research that you did gave you misinformation. Because today, so much information on the internet is inaccurate, so you could come across stuff that isn't really true. You read news articles, my goodness gracious, if you quote those things, who knows where you're going, especially because so much of it is politically motivated today, and people just say whatever they feel like saying. There could be no support for it, you know, and they just make up things. And it's happening amongst our candidates as well as other things. I mean, it's crazy. People just say things because they want an emotional impact and they're looking for emotional charges. So even if you do research, a lot of times you're going to come up with misinformation. So the idea is that, and I'm not saying be lazy about researching what you communicate to people, but the idea is don't make it part of your absolute that it has to be perfect, because you will never, what we say, get outside the box. Our life is about outside the box. It's truly about, you know, experiencing new things every day of my life. I love to do that. In my life, I try something new all the time. Drives Lydia a little crazy, and my husband, of course, can't ever fathom it because he's more of a perfectionist analyst. But the idea is that get outside the box. Don't freeze yourself, which is what perfectionist people do. You lock yourself in. You freeze yourself. You move very slowly. The word change comes very, very slowly. So if somebody says, okay, let's go after nonprofits, it might take you 6 months to a year just to develop a strategy that you feel confident with before you go and knock on the first door. Well, before we even had strategies, I was already knocking on doors in nonprofits. But I was doing a lot of the legwork of just preliminary contact to let them know I was out there and we had a program and I wanted to come back and visit with them because I saw it as a great possibility. So all of you could be even doing that, laying the legwork, but in preparation for finally getting some materials to go do it. But waiting for it to be perfect will freeze you, and you will be stuck in what we call the known zone, which is also known the comfort zone, because you're only going to take action where you're utmost comfortable, and that means you have all the knowledge and you have every single possibility of making a mistake has been erased. And that doesn't happen. So be open for creative things and understanding. And that's the purpose of the call today. It's kind of like to open up to some of you who get stuck in those things to say, you know what, maybe this is right. Maybe I need to just start winging it a little bit more. And that doesn't mean ridiculously, but in a lighter fashion. And so there were six progress-oriented strategies that this woman outlined in her articles that we're going to go over, each one of them, to maybe help you guys implement things in your life that might support you in moving forward. And or for those of you on the call today and say, well, Mary Jo, I'm like you. I'm not a perfectionist. I don't have the need. I'm going to suggest to you that this article really helped me because I work with a lot of perfectionists in my life, and you will too. If you do this business big enough and long enough, you're going to come across people every shape, size, form, including the analysts and the perfectionists, and you're going to need to know how to grapple with them. And so that's why it's important to understand strategies that can help you help them, because that's what we're truly about. Our life is truly about how do we support others the best possible way. How do we pour into other people? Because the more people that you value, the more people that you improve, that you support, the more value you carry on the face of this earth. So, and the more you'll be supported. You know, it's that concept of it's quantum thinking or it's quantum, it's just basic bare bones common sense. As you sow, so shall you reap. It's biblical knowledge. It's all of the above. So it's about us sowing. So learn today things that you can sow into other people. The first strategy is the concept that there is no such thing as perfection in life. No one has the perfect marriage. No one has the perfect kids. No one has the perfect animal. No one has the perfect job. No one. There's nothing that's perfect out there except one for me, one thing, and that's the Lord. That's it. That's all that's perfect in my life. God is perfect. Everything else fails. And when you get that as a reality check, that everything else is failing, you know, that doesn't mean that I live my life in a downward trend, because all of you know that I'm like one of those happy gene people. I'm positive about everything in life because I accept the fact that nothing is perfect. Nothing I do is perfect. Nothing I make is perfect. No presentation I give is perfect. I can always improve, because perfection is really a mirage. It's just, it can be a goal that you can set, but it's a goal that you'll never achieve. But you need to understand that up front and then work from a perspective of that your life is an ever movement forward of improvement. So we just constantly work. So what do we work on? We don't work on perfection. We work on improvement. And look, take your life and rephrase that, and that can help a lot of people as well. Is look at, hey, every day I try to be better than I was yesterday. That's what I do. I work towards bettering myself, improving the family life, improving my spiritual walk, improving my spousal relationship, improving my friendships. Every day, how can I be better? And that's what I strive for, and it makes it a very pleasant and wonderful experience versus thinking that something has to be perfect. Because see, when something falls apart, you become totally devastated. For me, when something falls apart, I go, wow, what a lesson I learned. It's a whole different direction. So, but it starts with the concept that I realize there is no such thing as perfection in life. And then you can start, you know, as you move forward, more and more self-confidence can grow just by little improvements. Whereas people that tend to be perfectionists, a lot of them have very little self-confidence. They come across with a lack of self-confidence because they can't get rewards from small improvements, because their focus tends to always be on the lack of perfection, and that robs them. All right, so that's number one, the acknowledgement. Nothing is perfect. Number two, practice intelligent goal setting. And we go over this in Manatech all the time, so this isn't new to anyone here. You know, we talk about all sorts of ways of setting goals, right? And most of them have to do with making sure you have, like I use SMART goals, you know, and you can get trained on that. But there's plenty of goal setting trainings on my Manatrain website if you need some good goal setting. And we do that every year at the end of the year. I dedicate the month of December always to reevaluating what did you do this year. Let's look back at it, acknowledge yourself for accomplishments, and then what didn't happen that you wanted to happen, and how do we do something different next year to cause that to happen, and setting realistic goals that are reachable, but they're also something that causes you to stretch, because you don't want goals to be something so crazy that you don't doesn't take much effort to get there. So your idea is intelligent goal setting, which means they have to be doable, measurable goals, and you set them at definite intervals along your journey. Notice your life is a journey, and that's how you look at your life. It's a journey. So what are my goals? What goal do I set this year? And you know, I've set goals for this year. I set goals in many aspects of my life because I love the whole experience of goal setting. I believe that once you envision something, the reality occurs. So setting goals is part of the envisioning process. If I don't set goals, I don't have a vision. And remember, we even go into Scripture and say, you know, for lack of men, we will perish for lack of vision. I mean, we must have vision in our life, and vision goals are part of that vision process, and they force us into a level of evaluation and setting ourselves up. And again, what happens with a perfectionist has to have perfect goals. So sometimes it takes them a year just to set their goals, and then it's already the next year, so they're ready to set them again. So you got to stay out of perfectionism. Goals don't have to be perfect, because goals are adjustable. You get 3 months into the year, and maybe the goal says, okay, so this is happening, and this is new direction, and now I'm going to adjust my goal. So they're adjustable. And so you got to make sure that you're not impractical in your goal setting. So at each interval, you measure your progress and adjust your sights of what direction you're going in. But as you go along this, what happens is perfectionists tend to, when they hit the three-month goal and they didn't get it, they go into what? They spiral downward. And many of you don't even set goals anymore, because perhaps that's been your experience, that when you don't hit them, they become so superficial to you, you just don't believe in them anymore. And I'm going to suggest to you that's just succumbing to defeat. That's not living a life of positive improvement and directional. It's negative direction. So what you want to do is you look at your goals and you say, wow, I didn't, you know, here's one, the first quarter, this is what my goal was. I mean, my goal for that Bermuda trip, I wanted to have 25 of my downline win. Well, I didn't hit that goal. Now, that's not just all about me, but it's about my support system and my networking to try to support people to get there. But I didn't beat myself up. I was exhilarated with the people that did win. And so I could share with them and celebrate with them and plan a trip to New York with them to spend some time. It's not about what didn't happen. It's about what did happen. So I acknowledge the victory that we did have, and I reevaluate the goals. So we need to commemorate each interval of your journey. So each step of the way is something that you acknowledge. There needs to be personal acknowledgement each step of the way, because there's always something to acknowledge in your life, no matter who you are, no matter where you are. I do a lot of teaching and training and coaching on this in terms of my foundation, that the reality is every day there is something to root for. Every day there is acknowledgments to be had. But we get so caught up in what's not happening that we lose perspective about the beauty of what we do have. And that's where you're getting lost. So you want to always focus on the beauty of what you do have, the greatness of what your accomplishments are, acknowledge yourself for what has happened, not for what has not happened, and stay in that positive world and framework, and then do the acknowledgement and move on. We're getting more and more, in Manatech for us, we're seeing more and more openness to supplements every day. I mean, we're getting a lot of calls. I'm getting a lot of referrals. I may not have a lot of, you know, business builders in my organization as I did in the past, but I'm telling you, people, I get more referrals. I get more, and Lydia's laughing at me, because it's like we're just, every person that we get as referrals, we're signing up. It's just, I love loving on people. And it's kind of, you know, I've had to shift in my approach, and it's a softer approach. It's more, you know, integrative medicine approach, and it's made a difference in how people hear me. And I know that, because I've left some of the sharpness about knowing that I'm right and this is what has to happen, to being very open to hearing what anyone has to say. And part of, you know, the quantum leap teaching and all that, but it's just a different shift that allows you to be more open and more ready. And it's just acknowledging that that's the way maybe my business is going to grow today. But I know one thing, I'm going to put my energy forth in many directions to continue to, you know, achieve results, because it's not about me, it's about the people out there that desperately need what we have. So be positive and commemorate yourself. Every step, take stock of where you are and where you're going, and commemorate the events in the, at each interval in your journey. Okay, so the third strategy that she promoted was, at the end of each day, take an inventory of everything you have accomplished and celebrate. Well, very much like what I said earlier, in just, you know, your path along that, the intervals in your goal setting, that path isn't just about every quarter or every month. The path is also about each day. And I love that. And some of you have heard me talk about this before, that, you know, every day and every night, I should say, before, as I go to bed, I always thank the Lord for the wonderful blessings He's bestowed upon me that day, the wonderful people I've had to interact with that day, the wonderful, you know, events that have transpired. And I do it every single day. And I'll tell you that some days are harder than others. But the hardest day of my life, for me to thank the Lord for what transpired, was when I, you know, and this is, you know, 10 years old now, but it's still emotionally hurt, but when I got the phone call that my brother was shot and killed. And I knew right away it was his wife, you know, because they were having issues, and she was a little, you know, just a little off. But it was devastating, and I was angry at God, and I was, you know, and I spent my hours screaming at Him, and my friend opened a church so I could do that, and I spent in a Catholic church, and I just spent some time screaming at the Lord, because I blamed everything on Him at first. I was angry why He chose my brother instead of the wife, you know. I was really all sorts of things going on. And but when I got home that night, and I wasn't even home, I was on the road. When I got back to the person's house, my associate's house that I was staying at, I got on my knees and I thanked the Lord for my day. And that's you know, it's just about understanding a heart of gratitude. And as hard as it can be for us, there's always something to be thankful for. And there was tremendous beauty that came out of my brother's death, but it wasn't something I could see that was going to transpire on the day he died. But there's always greatness that comes out of everything. And that's just, we as Christians, we believe it, because Romans 8:28. For those of you who are not Christians, you know, there's other ways that you can look at it. But it's a concept that we know that there's always greatness, and we need to keep that attitude. So end of each day, we want to celebrate the things you've accomplished, no matter how small they are, no matter how minute. Do you guys have the same issue that sometimes you just mitigate anything that you accomplish? It's like nothing unless it's something big. Oh, I signed up a new person, but they didn't come in as an all-star or something. I mean, it's like we want to be disparaging about our efforts and our energies, because we create such expectations for ourselves that when we don't meet them, we get disparaging instead of acknowledgement. Acknowledge for what you do. And this kind of attitude and approach to life, you start building it as a habit. For some of you, it's going to take a lot. For some of you, you're already there. For some of you, you're half there and half not there. But the reality is that if you build a new habit, any habit can be changed, and it doesn't take 20 days to change a habit. It takes 2 seconds. All you got to do is look at the price you pay, the reality of what you're paying for a bad habit, and you can change on a dime. But you choose a different habit to replace it. So instead of the discouraging, disparaging commentary that goes on, that self-talk, you choose positive talk. And at the end of the day, part of that positive talk is what? Celebrate the accomplishments, what you did do. So even if you don't, so some of you say, well, what if I failed and in my business, you know, two people dropped out, and then the hottest prospect I've had in 6 months told me no today, Mary Jo. Now, how can I acknowledge myself? I said, well, you know, acknowledgement isn't just always about what the accomplishment was in Manitech per se. What happened with your spouse? What happened in a relationship? Were you able to pour into somebody today in some way, shape, or form? I thank God every day when He brings a person into my life, especially through my foundation, which is so awesome. When people call me and they need to meet, and I go and meet them at Starbucks or I go meet them somewhere, what a blessing that the Lord's using me for 2 hours on a Saturday morning to just love on people and help them through tough times. That is so unbelievably rewarding to me. I mean, it's just awesome. It's just the ability. I don't need anything I mean, that's it's the Lord just using you as a tool to just help others. And what a total blessing that is to me. That's so it's generous actions, kind words, you know, positive thought processes, upbeat attitudes, something that there's always something that you can acknowledge and celebrate your day around. No matter what happens, there's always something. And you can also look at yourself in terms of what are you growing as a person? Because again, this is a world about greener growing or ripe and rotting. And what are you adding? This is why I'm constantly, the Quantum Leap Corp was a big course. The book was big for me. I learned some things from it. It may not be my shtick overall, but there are a lot of aspects of it that I enjoyed that had a lot of application in my life that I can grow from. So it's always about how can I be a better leader? How can I build my character? How can I be a better person in terms of growing relationships? Each one of those are, you know, you can have a new aha moment. And at the end of the day, you're going to celebrate an aha moment. By the way, you guys, you also want to record it because some of those aha moments for some of you happen, you know, 10 times in 5 years. And it's the same aha moment because you forget about it after you have it, and then it drifts and you go back to your old ways. And then you need a reignition on that aha moment. So aha moment should be, okay, a great aha moment, but how is it going to change my life and start applying it to being something different in your life? Okay, number four, let's talk about the fourth strategy. The fourth strategy she talked about is there's real reward in enjoying and acknowledging your work without judging it. See, a lot of us, you know, get into judging around our work. And when you get into perfectionism, what happens is you get into a cycle of what we call procrastination because you set yourself up for such a high standard that you find yourself overwhelmed or paralyzed at the start. And how many on this call can raise their hand right now and say, man, I've found myself doing that, where you take on, like somebody takes on nonprofits, and they go, oh, my gosh, you're paralyzed because it has to look perfect. So you're paralyzed. You go into this paralytic state. So you decide it's not for me. I hear people say that a lot. That's why I did that Marketing Mania program, because what was important to me was just giving people all the options. I don't even have all the options. Man, we only covered maybe 10 or 12 different marketing ideas in that Marketing Mania program. But the idea was to get into people's heads that, you know, you're stuck with one way. Maybe there's four other ways that you ought to be looking at. You ought to be experimenting with different things. Get out of your comfort zone and do something different. Stretch. And you can't even imagine how many emails I got back from people and phone calls from people in that group that said, you know, I never thought this was going to be an area for me, but I love it. But it took, they just, you know, quit feeling like it had to be perfect. Quit feeling like it had to be a perfect match. Quit feeling about your inadequacy. When you start not doing things because you say you're inadequate, wow. I just want to tell you, take a second look. I start from the perspective, I can't possibly be inadequate because God created me in His likeness. So I may physically and flesh have some inadequacies, but you know what? Through Him, anything is possible. So I'm limiting Him. When I say I can't do something or I don't have the tools or I don't have the ability to communicate or I can't approach, I'm telling God He's not good enough. That's a horrible assertion to make, I think. So anything that comes across in my life, can I do it? Of course. I mean, I go back, I remember when the Lord laid on my heart, and I don't know how many of you are familiar with this story, but when the Lord laid on my heart at a klemmer at the Heart of Samurai, when I went for the first time, because I've been back many times supporting people, but when I went to the very first Heart of Samurai with the klemmer group, and it was at Father Joe's, it was a shelter, and he was talking about how he raises money, and he held up I was sitting in the front row, and he held up a check. He goes, we even get checks in the mail like this from time to time. And he covered the name at the top of the check. And who did he put it in front of? To read it was Mary Jo. And he put this check in front of me. And I looked at the check, and it was a personal check made out for $1 million. And it was like loopy handwriting, so you could tell it was a woman's. And I was like, you know, that got to my core. That was a communication that I felt the Lord was giving me that, Mary Jo, you can make $1 million. You can make this money. You can have this to do the greatness that I have, you know, laid on your heart. And, you know, I walked out at me. I didn't sleep that night because I really knew the Lord was saying, I'm playing life too small. And some people thought, well, if you're playing too small, what is, and that's, and people don't ever get into comparative mode. It's your personal experience. But my personal experience was that the Lord was telling me something. So immediately I went into a mastermind group and I was saying, okay, Lord, I have this idea. And he gave me direction in terms of my foundation, what it was going to be like. But, you know, the $1 million of the financing for it, and like 6 months, a year later, I get a certified letter in the mail. I made an investment in a company called Jungle Labs. It was a little like fish food business. Some of you are probably familiar with it if you have fish tanks because they sell all their products in Walmart today. And anyway, I made a $20,000 investment because, and I didn't even know the guys. It was a friend of a friend that called up. He said, hey, Mary Jo, these guys are doing a leverage buyout and they're $100,000 short. You want to put in 20 of it? And I said, you know, he was a friend of mine. I said, sure, yeah, I'll put it. So I put in 20 grand. This is back in 91. Well, 13 years later, I get a certified letter in the mail saying, we're selling out to a publicly traded company, and your share of our company, which was 4%, I own 4% of Jungle Labs, is worth $1.1 million. So, but why did that happen to me? It happened to me because I believed. I never gave up. There's a concept of belief. I'm not inadequate. The Lord lays on my heart something. He's going to create it. It's going to happen. I need to believe. So I already had the plans in place. And what did I do with the stock? I took my stock and I gave 10% to the church and I put 90% to the foundation. I set up a foundation. So my husband was laughing. He goes, can't we have some of that? You know, it was hilarious. I mean, it was weird. But, you know, it was the value of knowing that what? That we need to not feel ourselves inadequate, that we have to get out of the whole concept of perfectionism. We need to just trust and have faith that what's going to happen and just continue acknowledgement, continues in our belief system that things will work out. I continue to believe with Manatech, my businesses will flourish again, and I see the activities already starting and laying the foundation for that, and I believe. But if you believe your business won't flourish, what are you going to create for yourself? Exactly the same. You're going to create a lack of flourishing. So the concept is to maintain belief. Really maintain belief and stay the course and come across without this attitude of everything has to look a certain way. And what happens when we take that attitude, we become very judgmental on ourselves. We look at ourselves as inadequate. We judge ourselves. And, you know, it doesn't stop there, does it? Because people who are judgmental about themselves typically are overly judgmental about everything else in their life, including other people. And when you start having a lot of judgment about other people, you're cutting yourself off. You're limiting your growth. You are locking yourself into a position. And so what you want to do is release that. What you want to do is be open to hear. You want to be open to understand. People have different opinions than you have, and be open to understand where they come from. They're not crazy. Some of our favorite people that we really like, we can say, wow, they're so different from me, especially when you start getting into politics and things like that, and I don't want to get into all that stuff. But the reality is they're intelligent human beings. People have a right to have different conclusions about different issues. You may not agree with them, but you know what? They don't judge them. It's not about, they're not idiots. You know, the languaging that we use today, especially on the national, you know, that you know, verbal intercourse that occurs is so derogative. It's so angry. I loved it the other day when somebody says, could we please have a Republican that's not angry? You know, and it was just an intriguing concept because it was like, you know, it was the idea that why does everybody have to be so mean and ugly? It's just such ugliness. Well, we need that kind of judgment stuff doesn't need to exist in our lives. Because it exists. If you do it to yourself, you're doing it to other people. And then you're locking yourself out. You're blocking yourself. You're denying yourself the ability to progress and to build better relationships with people and to grow your business, for sure, in Manatech. What is our entire business of Manatech? Our entire business is based on relationship building. So if you're taking activities and taking action to shut down people, then you're denying relationship. And I'm going to suggest to you one of the beautiful things that I love so much about Manatech is that it has grown me phenomenally in my spiritual walk because there's really not a lot of difference. I mean, the critical difference is, of course, our Lord and Savior. But the intrigue here is the fact that what I'm doing in my spiritual walk, especially entering, going to Brazil for 2 weeks, I'm going to be building relationships every day. I'm going to be loving on people every day. Well, there's no difference. In Manitech, I build relationships every day. I love on people every day. So the better, the more effective I can be at Manitech, the more effective I'm going to be in my spiritual walk as well. So it's about building ourselves, you know, maintaining that positive vision of who I am and what I'm doing. And yes, do I screw up? No question about it. Do I make mistakes? No question about it. But it's about us just not being so judgmental about the things that happen in our life and what we do. I've seen people lose entire years in their lives for one little mistake. And I go, whoa, time out. It's not about what happened in the past, as we live in the now. I do coaching with people that can't get over the fact that they got a divorce. Might have happened 10 years ago, and they're still carrying the rocks in their backpack because they always thought God wanted them to have a 25-year wedding anniversary and a 50 and all, and I'm like, wow, you know, my God's into forgiveness. It's over. It's history. It's done. You know, move on. He's not worried about he's worried about you because you're living in the past. Let it go. Release the knapsack. What are you doing today? You can't be doing today what you need to be doing if you're living in the past. And that's all about judgment, right? It's about the judgment we carry. And perfectionists tend to have a lot more of that because, man, it destroys them to make a little mistake. For me, I love making mistakes. And that's the next step strategy. And this applies also, remember, with your associates. Anyone you're working with, when they make a mistake, you lift them up. You go, you know what? What do we learn from this? Lift them up. Love on them. Cherish them. And when they have a win, when they win Bermuda, they celebrate. Fly off the charts. My group in Minneapolis that won the trip, they all went out and had a huge celebration on Friday night, celebrating the victory of the win. That's great. That's what you want to see happen. So rejoice in your associates' wins, knowing that you're in league with a bunch of winners. That's what you want. But let's go on to the next one, 5, which is the concept about mistakes, because this is a real killer. This is where people make mistakes and they get up that, you know, how many people want to take out a hammer and start hammering yourself? You make one little mistake, you get out the hammer, you start beating up on yourself. Let me just ask a simple question. What good does that do? What in the world does that do? Where did you learn to do that? I'm going to tell you, it started with your parents. If you look back at how you were raised, that's where you grew. That's where you developed that. Somehow your mom or your dad, because we do so much mirroring. I mean, you are who you are today because of the environment, for the most part, your environment you grew up in. Can you fight that? Absolutely. Mike, thank goodness you can, because that's what gives us hope with a lot of people that come out of poor environments. And we can help them too. But they have to see what they've developed, the patterns of behavior that, you know, it's part of the process of seeing what the patterns of behavior that they've developed because of their environment that are so negative and robbing them, and that's what move you forward. That's why we have the people like Brian Klemmer, his organization. I mean, that's what they do for us. They give us the opportunity to be able to, we can look back and say, wow, look at this. I'm carrying this baggage. I got all these programs running my life that are self-defeating. Well, beating yourself up for mistakes is one of those programs that's self-defeating. Mistakes happen to everybody. We all make mistakes. I make mistakes. In fact, I'll guarantee you I make a mistake every day. At least one. I'm sure. But you know what? If you ask me what mistake I made yesterday, I can't even tell you what it is because I don't focus on it. And if I look at it, I would look at it and say, okay, this I could have done this better. So how can I improve myself? And it's always a step towards improvement. Every single mistake is a lesson on how to be better. Every single misstep is a lesson on how to be better. And it's absolutely true that some of your greatest discoveries are the result of trial and error and outright blunders you make in your life. So the idea is that, you know, you look when mistakes happen, you're ecstatic about a mistake because, you know what, you learn something. You grow. You become better. People who take out the hammer and just beat up on themselves, they're self-fulfilling prophecy. They're going to create another mistake because they focus so much on mistakes. And that's another reason why you don't want to focus on them. That's why the word next, remember I talked even about Lydia and her experience this weekend. The big word next. Yeah, you might have a little mourning, you might feel a little violated, but you know what? You have a choice. You can wake up the next morning and focus on the violation, or you can focus on the greatness of what is created. Look at Lydia. We talked about it. What did Lydia do? She lost all her computer stuff. It was devastating for her. She was like a mess. I mean, when this first happened, I was like, oh my, because you know why? Because we don't know what tomorrow looks like. We go into fear and all this stuff. But the minute she started thinking about tomorrow, it was all about a brand new model. We got an upgrade model of her Apple, of her iPad, of her this. I mean, it was like a whole, you know, and now there's a little spring in her step and a little joy in her heart. And, you know, she starts seeing there is life after a break-in. So little things in life. And the same thing applies, whether it's a misstep by us or it's a misstep by somebody else. It's all about, you know what, stop beating up on yourself. There's no benefit in focusing on it. The only benefit on focusing on a mistake is from one perspective, and that is learn from it. What could I have done differently? Great. Acknowledge it. Acknowledge yourself for the growth and move on. And learning experiences are exactly what life is about every day. It doesn't matter whether you're my age or you're 20 years older or 20 years younger or 50 years younger. Every day is a learning experience. We never stop learning unless we choose to die. And you can have that choice. Remember, green or growing or ripe or rotting, and it's a choice we make. And finally, never underplay your accomplishments. And this just really highlights a lot of the things I've said, kind of wrap it up. We get rid of all self-degrading or limiting talk. You have no limitation. So there's no self-degrading. Doesn't exist in your life. Acknowledge and encourage yourself and others around you as well. You always want to be the encourager. I'll tell you, there's nothing that will be a greater attractor factor in your life than if you're out there being an encourager. And some of you look at yourself and evaluate yourself today. Just look at yourself. Sit down after you get off this call and say, am I an encourager? Am I an encourager? I work with people in my downline that are so negative about every single thing. You say, well, why don't we try this? And they come up with 18 reasons why not. Are you a why not person, or are you a absolutely let's move forward? Why not people are not encouragers. They're discouragers. They constantly dampen every atmosphere. They dampen spirits. They dampen atmospheres. They dampen directions. They dampen newness. You want to be the encourager. You want to encourage people. You may not even think something's that great an idea, but you know what you do? You encourage a person to think through it. Allow them to have the experience to determine for them whether it'll work or not. And maybe it works for them. Your idea that it's not a good idea is because you failed at it for XYZ. It's the same thing I did even when people would buy leads, you know, through Manatech. How many times? And I would go out there and, you know, and I'd go, okay, let's do a lead purchasing program. And I developed the best possible program I could to produce the best possible results. And you know what? I had 20 people in it. We had free leads. We had free coaching once a week. We had buddy system of accountability. We did all the things that I thought were necessary to try to affect the best possible results. And it still didn't work. But you know what? When people call me and they say, Mary Jo, I want to do leads, I go, great. This might work for you. But here's some things that I think you ought to build. Here's some ideas for you to build into it to try to be as most productive as you can. And if they ask me, if they say, well, what do you think about it? And I go, well, I haven't been very successful, but that doesn't mean you can't be, because there have been people who have. Not very many, but there have been people that have been effective. So, you know, but the other thing we could say is, well, that never worked for me, that didn't work for me, or that didn't work. Well, boy, that's really encouraging, isn't it? Not. We want to be encouragers. And that's what we want to do. It's about, and it's not just about other people, it's about encouraging yourself too. All right? It's both. So our idea is to employ positive self-talk, be positive. Never underplay accomplishments, even as small as they are, they're accomplishments. And if you just fight every day of your life to learn, what can I learn today? How can I grow today? I go to classes. I do all sorts. Lydia's got me signed up for an iPad training class, so I'm learning all that stuff. I'm learning Portuguese today. I signed up. I'm taking a Portuguese class. I started in May so I can learn, because I'm going to be in Brazil a couple more weeks, and I'll probably be back every year. I don't see this stopping into my Brazil trips, so I want to learn their language. So what a blast is that. Languages don't come easy for me, but you know what, people? It's always about growing. I want to continue on that path of growing, growing, growing. And that means being an encourager, being positive, taking an approach to life that things are great moving forward. And I just pray for all of you that you can take on. Hopefully you enjoyed today's talk. It's again, our focus needs to be on progress and growth, green and growing, and that's the direction we want to be in. So look at this as it applies to your Manatech business, but also as it applies to your life, because we're so much, you know, this is not just a Manatech issue. This is about life. How are we living this life? How full are we living this life? How big are we playing this game of life? And all of us, you know, when any of us play life small, when any of us shortchange, when you shortchange yourself, it's not just shortchanging you. I'll share with you that you're shortchanging me, because my world is you. You're in my world. So when you play small, you're robbing my world as well. And that means that all of us pay a price when somebody doesn't play full out. And that's why my goal is for all of you to be the best you can be, play full out, grow as much as you can. You know, if you're choosing the Manatech business, then be the best you can be at it. And that doesn't mean that you leave this call and you feel guilty because you're not doing it full-time anymore, or you feel guilty because you haven't shared. And it's not guilt doesn't have a place. It's about, what do I do from this day forward? I have total control over what I do from this day forward. So how am I going to shift, and what am I going to do differently, and how am I going to be on a growth path instead of falling back path? Okay, people? Love you. Anyone have any comments before we leave for the day? I know we ran a little bit over. Don't forget, the next 2 weeks I'm in Brazil, so you'll have Al Bala, and he is going to do some great trainings for you. He has a couple ideas that are terrific, so I'm excited about what you're going to get in my absence, and I can't wait to be back when I come back and join you all again starting in August. Okay? Anyone, last-minute comments before we go? All right, people, you have a great week. Get out there. Think about progress. Focus on progress, not perfection, but progress, and what's new in your life and how are you growing that. And let's build this Manatech business together, because we have a lot of greatness in front of us, and I'm excited about the direction we're going. All right, everybody, love you all. Talk to you soon.